Welcome to the Technology Lab, presented by CPA Practice Advisor, with your hosts, Randy Johnston and Brian Tankersley.
I'm Randy Johnston, along with Brian Tankersley. Brian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Brian Tankersley. I've been in the profession since the early 90s, have been doing accounting technology since the late 90s on a professional basis. I've written a few hundred product reviews, and I've spoken in 48 states talking about accounting technology to CPAs.
And I am from Hutchinson, Kansas. I am so pleased to spend time with you today. I have been on the top 100 list since 2004, the top 25 list since 2011. I love to spend time in technology and with my family as well. I'm fortunate enough to have founded Network Management Group, which is a managed service provider, providing services from Boston to Honolulu. And my K2 business is how I met Brian, and it is how we've probably met many of you, producing CPE and PD in the US and Canada. We're so pleased to spend time with you on today's Technology Lab.
Well, good day. Welcome to Technology Lab. I'm Randy Johnston with my co-host, Brian Tankersley. We are so pleased to have you join us on today's Technology Lab. We'd like to talk about our recent experience at the Thought Leader Symposium, which has been held annually for over a decade. Brian and I are fortunate enough to be on the Thought Leader list, and we got to experience multiple different things and conversations with other leaders in the profession. So Brian, I know there's half a dozen or more things that we could be talking about today. What's most important to you, or where should we start?
You know, I think we probably ought to start by talking about private equity, you know, because private equity, just like it's taken over, you know, companies like Avalara that went public not too many years ago, they've now gone private again. So we're seeing a lot of merger and acquisition activity. You know, Randy, you actually track some of that on your website, randyjohnston.com, where you track personal things there. And, you know, we've actually seen some changes in control of a lot of the products that we use in the profession. You know, there's Iris, which is owned by HG Capital, again, a private equity group. There are also firms getting acquired by private equity. And so that's having a pretty significant impact on our profession. You know, in particular, it's kind of changing the outlook and giving a, you know, if we go back to the wordings that were used about the leverage buyout, you know, epidemic of the 1980s, we're using debt as a measure of discipline to try to bring home the bacon for everybody. So we're seeing huge changes in pricing plans and lots of break with tradition in the profession.
Yeah, so, you know, to that point, Brian, you know, a number of the providers to the profession are private equity owned. So, you know, I've actually concluded possibly 2 years ago, maybe three, which was the motivation, by the way, to put the money behind technology on my website so you could see some of the private equity and venture capital holdings in titles that affect accountants. But in specific, the products that we typically used are now either publicly held by names like Wolters Kluwer or Thomson Reuters and Intuit, or they're venture private equity backed. There's very few private products left in the market. There are a few, but very few. And I'm not saying that's bad or good. It's just what it is. It was interesting to me very recently, a product that had been acquired by private equity got flipped to another private equity group. And most of these companies tend to hold their products for about 5 years before they flip them to another investor. Now, you are correct on the firm position because, you know, there's several big names, Eisner, Aptor, Citron Cooperman, Cherry Beckert, and others that have taken the private equity money as a way of eliminating the partner buyout is part of the issue, and also to raise capital because so many of our firms don't really spend on investments. We tend to draw out the profitability to the partners as opposed to making investments in the business. Better firms do make those investments, but a lot of firms draw every penny out to partners for income and therefore not much left to invest. However, one little thing that I would just call out, is, many of the firms that have been bought were already what I'd call best of class firms. And in making the private equity deals, they've been trying to raise capital to innovate even quicker and to make big moves. So I don't see this as an exit strategy for most CPA firms, as it turns out. I suspect less than 10% actually qualify for some sort of a private equity investment, and the ownership and management changes quite a bit. You know, a lot of these private equity groups manage by the numbers, and you have to hit the numbers or you don't survive. And let's face it, we may not be the best managers of our operations at times, or we may not think we have the best people at times, but the fact of the matter is we're in a heavy people-driven business and people resources are very short right now. So there's some very interesting maneuvers going on both in CPA firms and in publishing companies themselves.
One of the things going on here is that we have a collegial partnership kind of culture in a lot of organizations, and we're really shifting that culture. And so it's really going to force there. I think the private equity is really going to allow some of the more forward thinking folks to force things like additional use of innovative technology, use of offshore outsourcing, and all kinds of other things like this that are significant shifts in our business. You know, if you think about a lot of what we do, although we do it on computers now instead of doing it on paper, we've not automated the core work at the level it needs to be. And I've felt for a number of years that we're kind of at the precipice of a significant shift. You know, we've had some shifting with some of the tools like the Thompson State apportionment tool that for publicly traded partnerships that was developed with Infro. But audit is really, you know, from all the stuff we're seeing, and you and I've had a number of calls in the last 2 weeks, honestly, where we've discussed and looked at solutions that are doing 100% audit testing and automating the data flows and doing all kinds of things that really change things up. I saw a demo of a solution not too far back that did risk analytics for continuous auditing that was developed by a guy that ran the data warehouse at a large municipality and is being deployed on all kinds of different government environments. So, yeah. So it's clear that auditing is having a big change, and tax is also having that change at this point.
Yeah. And, you know, just kind of thinking those through, Brian, again, we want to protect the confidentiality of some of the discussions, but I've been in the middle of three discussions like this. I know you and I were in the middle of the top 25 or top thought leader discussion, which is why we're having this particular podcast. But again, we're trying to protect the confidentiality, but just give you a sense that, as you would expect, some people are all in on this, thinking it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Some people are all against it, thinking it's the worst thing that's ever happened to the profession. And it will be interesting to discern what happens. But at this point, because for CPA firms, nobody's been held long enough to be flipped yet, and we haven't seen the impact on the people, it may be a little hard to tell what the outcome's going to be, at least in the short term. Well, again, we could go a long way down this rabbit hole. There's so many different topics. We could probably spend the entire time on that, but there were some other important topics at the Thought Leader event. You know, one of those was around tax planning with the Corvi tool as an example. Now, of course, we have recorded various technology labs where we've talked about various planning tools, including Corvi, including Planner CS and BNA and others. And the bottom line here is that tax planning is changing. It's converting a little bit more to advisory as opposed to simply estimates, if you will. You know, so many people are just using that directly. And of course, with the new competitors coming along, like Intuit's Planner and the Tax Plan IQ product from Jackie Meyer and others, it is clear that something's up in the tax planning area. And it turns out, I think Andrew Argue did a very nice job of showing us some of the capabilities of Corvi directly in the session. and there were about two or three things that caught my eye. Well, what was most important that you saw in Corvey during our Top Thought Leader event?
You know, I think it was most interesting how he was trying to value price the service associated with Corvey, as opposed to doing things on a traditional hourly basis. It's really going through and value pricing it, and which again makes sense to all kinds of folks. I think that's a pretty significant piece. I think it's also time that we have some next generation tools. I mean, if you think about most of the tools that most of our practitioners use today, you know, with the exception of the CCH Access Suite, the Thomson Onvio Suite, most of the stuff that people live in every day is 20 plus years old. In many cases, 20 plus years old. And so it's nice to see some of the tools that are going to run on platforms that are maybe a little more efficient and maybe more cloud friendly.
And it turns out, I think, not only did Corvey have reporting that you and I were attracted to possibly 2 years ago or more, but also some of the new strategies that they expect to deploy over the next year plus. And I thought it was interesting that they had taken the effort to integrate a bit of the ChatGPT OpenIA tools to try to get an interpretation of what those tools might do inside products and the purpose of that. You know, that's another thing that we'll talk about in a minute in terms of a key development. But, you know, the net here is tax planning properly done, in my mind, has really evolved to tax advisory and should be priced and the service delivered as such. And probably one of the key messages that I'm hearing from all the new generation tax planning tools is that you can do less work for higher value for the clients than simply doing tax returns only. And, you know, you heard me go off, and this is one, since I said it, I don't mind disclosing it in this public forum. You heard me go off on that, you know, many firms are still having a wonderful practice doing mostly tax. And there were others in the room that responded, yeah, that's the most important firms to us. I thought that was really an interesting reaction. Your tax clients can benefit, the right tax clients can benefit from some very good tax planning. You know, that's a service that if you haven't considered, you will want to look at what's available with Corvey and their competitors, I think, in the coming months.
Yeah. Now ChatGPT, I found it to be quite interesting. You know, we had the demonstration of having ChatGPT write bios for people. And we found out, according to ChatGPT, that I had won a number of awards that I didn't win. And we found out that one of our friends, Doug Sleater, had evidently crossed the River Styx and had passed, according to ChatGPT. Now, that's not true. None of that's true. It didn't happen. But it was amazing to me how it was so accurate on so many things. And then it just appeared to make things up.
Yeah, it was fascinating because, as you and I have talked before, you know, I know the jazz musician, guitarist, Randy Johnston, of the same name. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm doing accounting technology related things and forming music groups, according to my bio from ChatGPT. But I think the demonstrator, Becky, did a nice job for us and explained a lot of things about the platform. And, you know, in coming tech labs, we'll try to help all of you understand the opportunity that we see with ChatGPT and the risks that are out there. There's a lot of frenzy around this right now. ChatGPT is already over 100 million subscribers. So my suspicion is that many of our listeners already have a subscription and have used it a little bit. But because perhaps of tax season and, you know, audits and so forth that are in process right now, have not played with it as much as you might otherwise. But the tool is powerful. The capabilities are interesting. And probably the biggest limitation at this point in time is the indexing is the year 2021 and before. So if you have anything that's current, you don't get that so much. But the new Bing version, Bing search engine for Microsoft, that incorporates that will bring all the current data in. And so there's going to be a period of time where this tool is getting refined. It was improperly released in October by someone not really authorized to release it. And that's what forced the release on November 30th of ChatGPT and really its very rapid rise to prominence. Clearly, the artificial intelligence in ChatGPT was another big topic for our group.
I was just going to say that, you know, I think we'll need to revisit AI in the future as its deployment becomes more prevalent. You know, we actually talked before recording about signing up for the Bing chat interface and some other things like that. AI is going to be a topic that's going to come up quite a bit in 2023 and beyond.
Yeah, I believe that to be true. Now, of course, we did have interesting discussions on other topics like education for accountants and the staff shortage and the 150-hour rule and the implications if that hour rule is reduced to 120 and portability of the licenses. And, you know, I guess I could go further to say if there is a topic that is of concern to you in the profession today, we may have talked about it as a group over those time periods and tried to actually come up with conclusions and actionable items to do. So this collection of consultants to profession has at least heard other consultants in the profession express their position, what their clients are asking about, and so forth. And it's probably healthy for everyone involved to have that sounding board where, you know, you could at least in a matter of some confidence discuss the topics, express your position, and try to understand what others are thinking at this point in time. So, Brian, I know there were many, many more topics that we could speak about, but I also wanted to be respectful of our listeners' time for this session, because again, we could have done the whole thing on private equity or the whole thing on ChatGPT or the whole thing on, and each of these topics we talked about probably deserved their own time slot. But I wanted our listeners to get a good overview. So any parting thoughts?
You know, just hang on. The change seems to be coming pretty rapidly. I think we're going to see, you know, we've already seen significant pivots from the Big Four and a lot of other folks and the tools they're using and how they're doing their work. And I think it's critical that firms of every size respond to those trends and really pay attention. The world is changing. It's changing a lot faster than we're used to it changing. So I would encourage you to, again, pay attention and keep on listening.
You know, the pace of change is spot on, Brian. It's very, very rapid. You know, I'm just thinking of one other topic that we'll talk about in a future technology lab. Single portal was a major topic discussed also. Again, so many changes coming at you. Keep your wits about you. Don't get sold a bill of goods because there's lots of that being attempted right now. And in the meantime, Brian and I will try to keep, you know, a reasonable voice of thoughtfulness and positioning for you so you can help your clients in the best way possible and protect your team members along the way. So we'll talk to you again in another technology lab. We appreciate your time today and we'll talk with you again soon. Good day.
Thank you for sharing your time with us. We'll be back next week with a new edition of the Technology Lab, brought to you by CPA Practice Advisor.